Hey everyone, it's Adele and Trina. Oh, sorry, I introduced you.
And Trina.
Too little, too late. welcome to our third podcast.
Is it only our third?
Yeah, it is. It's been a really long time, though. I think we haven't done one, like 6 weeks?
Well, yeah, because I was traveling.
Yeah, so much for us developing an audience and a following.
I know, right? Well, maybe people are relieved they don't have to listen to us for a while.
Prattle on and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
Where were you? I always get this wrong. You were not in Cambodia. You were in Vietnam.
I was in Vietnam. I was. It was great. I was there for 2 weeks. I was working for 1 week, and the work part was very successful. And then I took a week off to travel, which was interesting. And had varying degrees of success. Well, but at the same time, I'm very proud of myself for, like, doing Asia alone.
And what is it you said when you came back? You were glad to be in a country where everybody wasn't staring at you?
Well, yeah. I now know what it's like to be a celebrity, and it's horrible. Because, like, at first it's, you know, kind of fun. Everyone is looking at you and wants to talk to you. And then it gets annoying. And then it's just, like, really irritating, and you just want to walk along the beach without being accosted.
Now, is it because you are, like, pale with red hair, or because you're an American?
I think a combination. White skin is very prized, and since I am, like, the color of a mushroom,
you glow.
I mean, that's, like, the only place in the world that it's cool to be my skin color. And I was a woman, young woman traveling alone. That's very unusual. Most Western women would be traveling with a friend or a boyfriend. And I was also in an area that wasn't really heavily touristed.
Because of the work stuff? Were you like, because of the work stuff, or you went and sought out places that weren't very touristy?
No, the place that I was in on my own, I was in Da Nang, which is in the center of the country. And it will eventually be a great base for exploring the cool things in the area, like Hoi An, which is a World Heritage town, and Hue, which is the old imperial capital. Actually, right now, it's kind of hard to do these things because there is a tourist bus, but it only runs once a day, and so it's not really for day trips. And yeah, so my April Fool's Day consisted of spending about 6 hours in a bus and 1 hour at the Imperial Palace.
Dude, that's no good.
It was. I mean, it makes a great story now, but it was pretty frustrating at the time.
That's what you get for your obsession with public transportation.
That is true. I do have an obsession with public transportation.
So let's get to the good stuff. You did a little fabric shopping.
I did a little fabric shopping. I broke the seal in the Mekong Delta where I was for work, for the first part of my work. I went to the market one night. And of course, you know, when you think market, you have this idea of, you know, wonderful handicrafts and locally grown foods and, you know, people in native costume. No, every market in the world is cheap plastic crab made in China. But there was a little fabric section of this market, and I went and I found this really cute cotton Swiss dot with orange polka dots. And my translator guy, who, let me tell you, this guy, it was like having a really good boyfriend. He would sort of like unobtrusively hover behind me and make my life easier. It was fantastic. I could totally get used to that. And so he helped me negotiate. I think I paid around $2 a meter for that cotton. So that was my first fabric purchase.
And that cotton's really cute.
It is cute, yeah. And then I went to the Ben Thanh Market in Saigon / Ho Chi Minh City, depending on what you want to call it. And I was worried because, you know, everyone goes to Vietnam to get clothes made.
And you did not plan ahead?
No.
Yeah. That's all right. You can make your own clothes.
I can make my own clothes. Because everyone was like, oh, I could get this dress copied. I can cut this dress out of a magazine. I was kind of like, I can do that myself. Now, I would have loved to have had a suit made because girl, I do not, I am not interested in making a suit. I'm really not.
And I am.
Suits are more your style. For me, wearing a suit is a chore.
Oh, no, I love a suit, but carry on.
I know. Yeah, I only wear a suit when I have to look like a lawyer.
And, I know, like when you keep that jacket on the back of your door, like just in case, and you only put it on like for that thing, and then you take it off.
I have 4 jackets in my office to match any possible outfit I may be wearing. Because I have a meeting. So I went to the market in the Bentan market in Saigon. And so I was worried I wouldn't be able to find fabric. I thought, you know, you could only find already made clothes or go to a tailor and, you know, they'll buy the fabric and make clothes. But no, no, no. There's this whole quadrant of the market that is just, you can't even imagine how much fabric. The aisles are about 4 feet wide and it's stall after stall after stall. And they have fabric stacked floor to ceiling. Well, first, I actually found your fabric.
Which is lovely.
It definitely made me think of you. It's got this graphic print and white and red and black. Very Sidel. And so she told me the price, which I think she told me 85,000 dong.
I'm sorry, 85,000 what?
Yeah, dong. It's it's 15,000 dong to the dollar. So that was, I can't even do that math, but more than I should pay on you. And so the great thing about modern times is that we all use Arabic numerals. And so she didn't speak much English and I speak like 2 words of Vietnamese. So she pulled out the calculator and she put the price in and I was like, oh no, no. So then I put in my price and then she was like, oh, how, you know, you're robbing me. How could you do this? And she put in her price and we finally reached a price, which I later realized was too much, but whatever. So I got it and I thought it was, you know, this beautiful silk charmeuse, very lovely. And so then I went to another stand and I found a couple of pieces for myself. And so, you know, when I went to New York, I really wanted to use my mood coupon that my friend had given me, the mood gift certificate on a Pucci print.
Yeah.
But it's like $60 a yard. I just couldn't bring myself to do that, even with someone else's money. So I got myself some very Pucci print kind of silk charmeuse and also a floral, and so I was very excited about this. And then, you know, I wandered around a lot. They have beautiful woolens for suit lengths, and they have a lot of shirtings too, because people get shirts and suits made there. But the shirtings weren't that interesting to me, and frankly, I was kind of overwhelmed. I mean, it is crazy. I mean, you'll see in the pictures.
Yeah, it's like wall to wall. It's insane.
It's really insane, and it's indoor, this market. Which is great because it's protected from the elements, but I'm not even a claustrophobic person, but I was getting a little close. And people, like, were grabbing my wrist and trying to pull me. And so I was like, okay, you know, this is good. And so I was like, no, this is fantastic. I got these silks for, like, $3, $4 a yard. I need to go into business importing Vietnamese silk. Like, this is, you know, why does nobody do this? But then I got back to my hotel.
Because I was going to say, they do, Trina, but they just charge $20 a yard, and then we complain it's too expensive.
I know. So I got back to my hotel, and I was like, crap, I think this is polyester, because I was spreading them out to, you know, just admire them, and one of them crackled a little bit with static, and I was like, I think that only man-made fibers get static.
I've never heard that before.
Yeah, I don't think that natural fibers get static, and so then I was like, great, I bought polyester. Well, I mean, what are you going to do? And so the whole rest of my trip, this was right before I went on the personal part of my trip, I was looking for matches so I could do a burn test. Did not find any matches anywhere.
Are you telling me people in Vietnam don't smoke?
They do smoke, but, you know, I don't know. I guess I never went where they would sell matches. It was very strange. So I didn't buy any more fabric because I wasn't sure if I had polyester or silk, and I kept going back and forth. Because the fibers were crimped the way silk fibers are, and I actually had a silk dress with me, and I compared the I was lost. So I get home and I do burn tests, and sure enough, it melts. And I was like, oh, polyester.
But it was weird
because it burned with a clean flame,
yes,
but also melted. And so then I was like, well, I mean, the good thing about it being polyester was that then it wouldn't be so special. And I would be able to use it without, oh my gosh, this is, you know, the one opportunity of my life to use this amazing special fabric. And I must wait for the perfect project and until my skill level has reached expert couture. So I was actually, you know, kind of okay with it being polyester because I was like, okay, well then, you know, I'll just use it. And so I was like, well, you know, I'll test it to see how it does in the wash. So I cut a swatch and I put it in the wash, and it was coming out, and I was kind of petting it when it came out of the wash. And I realized it was stretching. Then I was like, okay, let me do this burn test over. So I did the burn test over, and I'm pretty sure a stretch silk Charmeuse. So it's like even more special than I thought it would be.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's even better.
I'm never going to be able to use this.
You know, what's actually really funny about that is, had I known, because I realized last week that I need like two more formals before the year is over, I would have put you on a mission, because it's really hard finding coordinating colors of silk charmeuse. And I would love a stretch because it's a really slim cut dress that I'm eyeing right now. And so it would have that recovery.
Mm.
Unfortunately, I can't make the 3 meters you got me stretch to a floor length gown.
Sorry about that.
But it's the thought that counts, Trina.
It is. I don't think I'll be going back to Vietnam anytime soon. But if I do, I'll look out for you.
So
you have had experience bargaining in marketplaces for fabric, right?
Yeah, I have, and I'm horrible at it. You know, I'm reviewing the fabric that I bought specifically in Ghana, because I bought probably six or seven cuts of fabric. But in my defense, I gifted two pieces of it, and I now only dislike one piece, which will probably be made into like a skirt or something. But I just prefer someone to tell me, if I knew what I should be paying, I would be fine with bargaining. But I sort of feel like we're at a disadvantage because we're not really even sure what we should be paying.
Oh, I have no idea. So the first place I bargained, and I paid more than the asking price of the second place. And the asking price of the second place was like a little over $3 a meter. And I couldn't bring myself to bargain. I couldn't.
And they tell you to bargain, and you're like, really? Because I'm like, to me, I'm looking at the Ghana prints, which is like 6 yards for $30. And I'm like, it's 6 yards of beautiful cotton, all cotton fabric for $30. It just seems kind of
reasonable to me.
And that's what I bargained them down to. Like, it just seems reasonable.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I figure, you know, I don't mind paying what I consider a fair price. And maybe to them it's a windfall. And I think everyone's happy that way. Everyone wins.
Agreed. But you know what happened while you were gone?
What?
New Berta World of Fashion came out.
New Berta World of Fashion.
Now, to be fair, it is the April edition. And today is officially like the last day of April.
Well, then we better hurry.
I know. So we're going to, you know, what we like to do is kind of go through the magazine and tell you guys what we think. And I think the thing that I need to point out is this is one of those special editions where there's a men's section.
Yes.
And I love European men. I love thin men. But I have to tell you, any man of mine who was wearing these clothes, I'd have to ask twice about.
I mean, they're totally fashion forward. They're completely Tom Brown with the slim cut trousers that are ankle skimming and the fitted shirt. Look great on the runway on male models, but male models would look good naked. And in fact, I wish there were more naked male models, but that's another story.
Especially
on an American man.
I'm going to disagree with you. I don't know that male models would look good naked. I think a lot of them would be too thin.
I like skinny, though. I like the runners.
I don't.
Swimmers.
No.
Well, you know how I feel about Michael Phelps.
This is the best story. So a couple years ago, I worked for the Baltimore County Executive, which is where Michael Phelps is from. And his mom, I worked with his mom to help put on this thing called a Phelpsdival. Oh, wait, a couple years ago. It was 4 years ago. It's the Olympics again.
Obviously, because it's the Olympics again.
I know, and he's going to be all over it. And actually,
I don't think he's going to wear those lowrider shorts this time.
Oh, for the heaven's sake. Can I also tell you guys, I mean, I know you don't know my full first and last name, but if you Google it, especially in Google Books, it comes up. I was thanked in the Michael Phelps book, which I didn't... But I didn't even realize the book had been published. How funny is that?
Michael Phelps' book. But you were thanked in it. But thanking in the book is one thing. Receiving a hug from Michael Phelps.
I know. I actually have to find that picture.
Can you describe that for us for a moment?
Actually, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to look for there's a videotape of like the Phelpsdival stuff. And like, okay. I think his mom thanks me and my friend Erin at the end. And she gives us a hug. And I don't remember Michael giving us a hug at that, but we had dinner at his house that night, and he did. He's got the wingspan of a jet.
I would like that wingspan to be wrapped around me.
He was 17.
If only for a moment. I know. It was so inappropriate of me to feel that way. But, you know, he's legal now.
So, oh my goodness. So, I ended up a couple weeks ago, I found these two t-shirts from the Phelpsdival. I don't wear t-shirts, which will be a whole blog post at some point about why I don't wear t-shirts. But I gave them to Trina, and she was jumping around the apartment like a child.
It's possible to wear them to bed.
Okay. So while you were gone, you missed the BWOF. And so that's it up for the men's clothes. You know, it's fine. It's like two pairs of pants, two shirts, I guess, and a jacket. And normally, I can sort of get with them. And to be honest with you, Trin, maybe if they were on, you know... I guess if you were, how different is this than looking at a model thin woman wearing a skirt or dress and saying, okay, I could wear that. Do you know what I mean? Like, we're just,
no,
are we looking
it's
at the male model with the
habit of doing that for men?
Yeah. So maybe that's the problem is like, I don't buy men's clothes. I think the last time I tried to give a guy men's clothing as a gift, I asked my girlfriend Julia to pick out something.
I don't think I've ever given a man clothing.
I did once give it and take it back, but that's another story.
That is a whole other story.
So that was what I think was sort of interesting about this one. There are a couple of things that really stand out to me in this issue. Mm-hmm. But I think it's fair for me to say first that this is an issue that the more I look at it, the more I like it.
Okay.
Yeah, because initially the only thing I cared about was this cute little trenchy cargo-y jacket, number 107.
The one that's a petite?
Is it? Oh, yeah, it is a petite.
It's a petite.
I will alter it. I know. I have a whole thing on how to de-alter the BWOF, so I'm fine with that.
No, I was so happy to see that that's a petite.
Yeah, I'll work it out.
You weren't drawn to the dress, number 118? The color craft dress?
No, I wasn't. And it's funny because Reethi from Weekend Crafting pointed it out, and I was like, you know, it's cool, it's fine. But you know what? I am anti-duro, and I'm anti-twist dress. So when I see those elements, I tend to shy away, which is funny because Toya did, and Adrian both did 116, and I thought it was really cute, even though it's got that little twist top. I have to tell you, I quite like 117. Which I know is 116 color blocked, but...
It's a shame.
I know, but I like how they color blocked it.
I do like that. But, so you think that number 118 is like a Duro?
Yeah.
It's totally not. It's totally got a vintage styling. It's got that zipper down the front. A Duro has a high, wide midriff band. A natural waist, narrow midriff band.
And it's got the thing down the middle and something around the waist. Duro-ish. I also... This one is kind of funny.
I love that one, obviously.
Are you going to make
it? It's totally my style. I don't know. I don't know.
No? Well, I also really like the shirts 119A and 119B. And I actually, it's kind of like a button-down knit. And I actually was going to make it last week when I was doing my whole easy knits.
I love easy knits.
Well... Did I tell you? I'll tell you when this is over why I'm not doing easy knits. I think it's a pretty amusing story. and more telling about my personality than I would have realized. So I really like those tops, and I was going to make it, but I only had a patterned fabric, and I just thought it would be too much, that it did need something to at least set the button band off.
Okay. Yeah, I think that it does need a little contrast there. I like that it has the placket that doesn't extend the full leg. That's kind of fun.
Yeah, that's cool. And this is weird for me. I'm not usually a tunic person, but I think 121 looks pretty cute. And I quite like both the tops of 114 and 109. I think those are really neat little tops.
Okay. So number 121. See, I initially was a little drawn to that, but after my experience with that purple blue top I made, I can't make anything in that style from Berta anymore.
Which one was terrible for you?
That one that was sort of a kimono-ish top.
Oh, yeah.
Hold it under. Yeah, that's just not a good look for me.
Well, don't blame Berta.
What? I'm blaming Berta. It can't possibly be me.
Of course not.
So my number one pick, since I do love the easy knits for real, from this was number 128, 129. It's a plus size, and it has kind of a cool collar twist underbust band.
Yeah.
On a t-shirt. I love it. I think it's so cute. And you know how much I love mixing fabrics and colors and prints. And so actually I'm in the process of making that one. I saw that it was a plus, which is great because they have such great plus. But I didn't want to have to grade. But actually I knew that they had done several shirts in that style. And so I went back and I found in August that they had done a shirt in the smaller sizes in that style. So I just traced out that shirt, copied the band from the plus on this pattern sheet, and it looks really cute.
How ingenious of you.
It's not quite done. I need to put the sleeves on still, but it's a cute little dress, and I had to cut princess seams and prep the pattern.
And what are you, so that's what you've got going on. Oh, well, so tell me what you're working on now.
I'm working on that dress. I am considering, okay, so I leave for Paris in a little less than 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the weather will be like. I'm hoping that it will be warm enough to wear sandals. And I just bought a pair of red Dance Go sandals because all I wear is Dance Go's because they're ugly but comfortable. And so I'm hoping to, you know, go with the whole red motif. And the mini wardrobe contest is coming up in 2 days. And so I may try to undertake the crazy feat of doing the mini wardrobe before I leave. So a long, long, long time ago, I posted on my blog that Lily Lemon dress for the knockoff contest. Do you remember this?
No.
With the little racer back. Yeah, it was a long time ago. I'm actually working on that. I was working on that earlier today, drafting the pattern for that. So I may do that.
Listen to you drafting patterns.
I know. I draped it even on Violet.
Oh, Trina. Impressive. I am working on... all right, so I guess I came off a series of heavier projects, like I did that big bag and I made a knit dress, and I just wanted to do something like really easy and just kind of crank out some tops because I don't know, my transitional wardrobe is not very good. But
we're having transitional weather. It's either hot or cold.
Oh, so cold today. So cold. And it's going to be nasty all week.
I know.
if anybody ever doubted that I'm such a girl, here's evidence that I am. I was out on Sunday night with, what are we calling him? Agent Super Cute. He is, I know, he's so super cute though. And
he sounds a perfect gentleman.
He's a total gentleman. And I was looking through, he has this book at his house about men's fashion. And I was going through it and I was like, oh, vest coats are such great, you know, what a great look. And he said something like, I think women in vests are really sexy.
Oh. We likey.
Me likey. And in my defense, I had two vests in mind that I had been thinking about making since March. I kid you not when I say I went home that night, I pulled out the BWAF pattern, I had it traced, it is all cut out,
Is it that fantastic one from...
Yes. See, oh, I talked about it before, right? This isn't just for Agent Super Cute. I had been thinking about it.
No. As soon as that magazine came out, we loved that one.
Yes. So, and I think you can even go back to our first podcast and I talked about it. So there, I'm not a complete, fall all over herself. But, you know, there's something really great about a guy who takes notice of women's clothing, who is not himself interested in wearing said clothing. So
yeah, and is also not interested in being prescriptive and is interested in women's clothing beyond, you know, like the thong.
Yeah. Like, it wasn't like, oh, I like girls. He just was like, I think women in vests are really sexy. So I'm doing this vest and I'm calling it like my break in to tailor jackets. AJ, one of my blog readers from Scotland, says that, was that British or was that Scottish?
Can you repeat that, please?
No.
I think that was like Mr. Bean.
I think it was too. I take it back. You know, the only time I met somebody Scottish, I was in a bar in Israel and it was the night of the World Cup and I couldn't understand a word coming out of his mouth. I was like, are we both speaking English?
I got lost in Scotland. And I swear the man was speaking to me in Gaelic. I didn't understand anything. And I was just like, I'm just going to keep wondering.
That would be Ireland.
Whatever. Maybe it was Irish.
She told me, AJ told me that in old tailoring shops that apprentice tailors couldn't move up to jackets until they had mastered the waistcoat. So I am doing a lot of tailoring techniques in terms of, you know, stabilizing the roll of the collar, and I'm underlining it all in silk organza so it's crisp, and I'm adding a lining that wasn't there. So it should be, I did not do a muslin. And my concern
you
with
are
the...
I'm free.
I know. My concern with the non-muslin is that, let's just say that I have packed on my winter weight. And my last vest that I did for BWAF was almost 2 years ago, and it was actually big on me. And I cut the same size this time, but this fabric doesn't have any stretch, and it does go a little bit lower towards my hip. So theoretically, it could be a little small, but I'm perfectly content to leave the last button undone, because obviously my goal was to crank out a really sexy vest for me as quickly as possible.
That's a good goal. And I also like that since we're talking about AJ from Scotland, that we could say waistcoat.
I know.
Is that not the cutest word?
Yeah, I'm totally eschewing vest just so I can say waistcoat. And she used it, so I'm like, oh, it's not pretentious at all.
No, you're just quoting her.
Yeah. Somebody I know uses it. My friend says waistcoat. That's what I'm saying.
Exactly.
So today, before anybody thinks that I'm telling tales out of school, I did ask Agent Supercute if I could call him Agent Supercute, which meant he needed to know how he ended up with that name. And so...
If I ever meet this man, I will have to stop myself from calling him Agent Super Cute.
I bet if he did, he'd be really happy about that. He said,
happy enough to set me up with one of his friends.
Agent's even super cuter. I will. Okay, I'm just going to say
for Agent Justice Cute.
I love it. I will say this. He was like, well, as long as you're talking, he's like, just as long as you're talking about me. So, yeah, we'll see if he's still around next month.
Let's hope so.
Okay. So, I guess go forth and sew for you now. You've got your shirt.
Yeah. Well, and then pack and then go to Paris where I will be fabric shopping. So I first went to Paris when I was 17 years old, right after I graduated from high school. We're not going to talk about how long ago that was.
I know.
And I told myself that I would buy a dress in Paris. And I was traveling with my grandmother on a package tour, and I did not have time to buy a dress in Paris. And then I went back to Paris 2 years ago on my Scandinavia trip to stay with a friend there. And we actually went to some boutiques, but the dress I tried on was trop grand à la poitrine, which means I'm flat-chested and it was too big in the chest. And we didn't have enough time to really look anymore. So this time, I still hope to buy a dress in Paris. My fallback will be buying the fabric for a dress in Paris. And so I can make a dress that is not trop grande à la poitrine. And so I'm pretty excited about that. And Karen6790 will be in Paris at the same time as me. And so we are going to try to meet up and do a little fabric shopping
together. How funny is that?
I know. It's so great. I love Karen. She's so much fun. And I hope that we can work it out.
And her blog is Sewing by the Seat of My Pants. And she's got her whole Paris wardrobe up there.
Yes.
I'm just giving her a little plug. Which, just as a reminder, everyone's wardrobe contest for both the Timmel Swap and the wardrobe contest on PR are done. And there's some really cool entries.
Yes, there are. And also the silk contest to plug myself.
I haven't entered any contests. I kind of briefly considered doing the mini wardrobe as we were talking. I thought, oh my gosh, I'm going to do this seersucker vest. And if I do the matching pants and a skirt, I'll have a hole. And then I remembered the rule says that you can't cut.
Have you already started?
Yeah, I got it all cut out the other day.
Well, I had a great time making my silk blouse for the silk contest. I wore it out on Saturday night, but it was a totally rainy night, and so I didn't end up flirting with anybody, except for some, like, 21-year-old kid who was staring at me and then asked me if I was someone else and then dropped his glass, which broke on the floor.
What is it with you and the young ones?
Well, I hypnotized them.
It's magic. All right. We are at the 30-minute mark.
Okay.
And we like to give, I like to think of our podcast as the perfect walk or the perfect workout.
Okay. I think that's good.
Yeah, yeah. So 30 minutes, you should be winding down in your cardio, finishing up that hand sewing that you started.
Stretch.
And if you need another 30 minutes, feel free to go back to our last podcast and get yourself through the next half hour.
All right. Well, we will talk to you when I get back from Paris.
Which will be when?
Oh, I don't even know. May 17th, I get back, so give me a few days.
Oh, we have to plug our appearance at the Wheaton Library.
Oh, yeah, when is that?
May 23rd.
That's right. Yes, we will be appearing, our first public appearance, at the Wheaton Library in Wheaton, Maryland.
We've been asked to go to a sewing meetup group and bring some garments that we've made and talk about sewing.
Which, yeah, so if you're in the Maryland, D.C., Virginia area.
Come early, come often. Buy a drink for your friends.
Yeah, no autographs, no autographs.
No, but seriously, if you want to come out, it should be a lot of fun. And I understand that it's a group of a lot of beginner sewers. And I think we're good for it because we're definitely solidly intermediate. And our clothes are by far not perfect. And I think it'll be good for people to see that you can make clothes that aren't perfect, but are still totally wearable.
I think, yeah, that is key. I think people are intimidated by the thought of actually wearing something that they've made in public.
And I pretty much wear everything. Like, I made it, well, you don't have to ask me. Unless it's falling apart, I'm putting it on. Okay, so, what's our sign-off? Oh, you did the sign-off.
Oh, yeah. All right, well, thanks for listening, everybody, and keep on stitching.
Oh, that's right, keep on stitching. Bye-bye.